We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. Our radio this morning is sponsored by Dana Cox and Chad Phillips in honor of Bailey's birthday. Our special music by the choir is Beside You.
Good morning. We're kind of going out of order a little bit this morning. Before the choir sings, I have the greatest honor of celebrating an amazing woman for all that she has done for this church. And before I say her name, I would like to share a story really quick. In 2015, my mom, Joan Weddle, passed away due to complications of COPD and cancer. It was a really hard time in our life. But when we were putting my mom's celebration of life service together, I looked at my dad, who's here today, and said, "We cannot do this without Georgie and Coons." And so my dad agreed 100%, and after conning a few people out of her number, I found it, and I gave her a phone call. And it must have been God's hand that was working that day, because she had literally just walked into the door after being gone 4 days and picked up the phone on the second ring. And I told her what happened, and she was like, "Absolutely, I'll be a part of that special day for you guys." We talked about the hymns and the things that we would do for the service. And then my last request was at 4 o'clock sharp, she play something on the organ. Didn't matter what it was. I couldn't even tell you what the name of the song was that she picked out. She probably doesn't even remember either. But I said, "I just want to feel the organ vibrate in my chest. I want everybody to be worried that the windows are going to blow out. You play that organ so hard." And she's like, "I think I can do that." A few days later, at 4 o'clock sharp, Georgian gets behind the organ, and she plays that organ so hard and loud that I was afraid that the windows were going to blow out. That was the first time since she passed I felt my mom. Georgian gives so much of her time and talent to not only our church, but to St. Ambrose as well. She is talented. She is loving, caring, funny, committed, humble, and full of so much joy. Georgian, your commitment to the churches you serve is unwavering, and the joy you bring to us every time you play makes us want more. We are so grateful to you and the ministry of music that you bring into this church and to everyone who is listening on the radio. You are truly blessed. I am truly blessed to call you a friend. Please help me thank her for the amazing talent that she gives to us every single day. So we went on ahead and did something, and we got her a little something. It's a special plaque from her family here at Trinity United Methodist Church, and we just want to let you know how much we love you and appreciate everything that you do for us. You are truly our heart. Thank you.
you. Our scripture this morning is from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, and in your Pew Bible, that is on page 1139. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I have received I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of them are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles. I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than any of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then or it was I or they, this is what we preach and this is what we believed. Our sermon this morning is A True Resurrection by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
To say that Easter is a big deal is an understatement, is it not? It is the pinnacle of the Christian faith. No other faith has a risen Savior. Today is not a day for spectators. We want you to be a part of every single thing that's happening today. To look for hidden gems, like what Pastor Jim did with the children's message. To sing along with our amazing choir. To be fully present as the body of Christ. For today is the day that our faith is built upon. Today is the day where we can say we have truly been to church. The service is going to run a little longer than normal, and that's okay. We have several pieces of special music. We have a baptism today. A baptism that we can thank God for, a family, a little family that we can pray for, come alongside of, and help them to raise up a little colt in the faith. Today is the central festival of the church, out of which two other festivals derive. The first is Christmas. We all know about Christmas, where Jesus came down, swaddled as a small, tiny infant, born to a lonely, lowly servant girl. And then we have Pentecost. Pentecost is my favorite holiday in the church. A lot of churches, whether high church or low church, totally ignore Pentecost. But Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter. Pentecost is where the Holy Spirit made himself clear to thousands of people in their own language. People saw tongues of fire over the heads of people. Tremendous things were done. And Christ Jesus told us, if we have faith, if we believe, even greater things will we do in his name. Sadly, today, we think, oh, yeah, Jesus did lots of miracles in his time. The apostles did miracles after Jesus ascended to heaven. But that was it. There are still miracles today. All we have to do is look around us to find miracles. Some are small. Some are huge, but all of them are God working in, on, and through us. One of the greatest resurrections that I have ever seen is when a wayward child who has strayed from home, gone out into the world and done all kinds of things that they are ashamed of, the prodigal child returns home. And our Lord Jesus welcomes that child just the same as that father did. That father ran to greet his son. That father asked for a ring and sandals to be brought to put on the young man and said, let's kill the fatted calf. Let us have a celebration because this one has come back. Another resurrection that I see daily are people who turn away from drugs and alcohol and shame that has held them bound. And Christ Jesus speaks to their spirits and they become revived, renewed. There are small resurrections around us every day if we will just look. Without Easter, there would be no ministry of Jesus for us to celebrate. There would be no finding godly wisdom. There would be no enduring hope. We have to have hope to get us through this life. Our main hope comes from Christ Jesus, comes from the living Word. Hope also comes from us gathering together in corporate worship. Hope comes from us singing those beautiful hymns together in the contemporary songs. Hope comes from corporate prayer where we pray for one another. And this is a faith-believing, prayer-filled church. As we worship today, we sense that the Easter message touches the heart of many people. Many people who are not nourished by a church family long for the hope that we have. Many people who do not have a church family to lift them up ache for that same love that we find in Christ Jesus and in one another. Alfred North Whitehead, an amazing mathematician, a philosopher and theologian, the one who created process theology. He believed that we have a human anguish called the perpetual perishing. In other words, the nature of life. He had a special sensitivity because his son was killed in the slaughter of World War I. Yet, even without that terrible loss, he seemed to understand that there is constant loss for all human life. There is loss of persons. There is loss of experience. And there is loss of significant values. In this day and age, it is hard to find values. It is hard to find manners. I love the little sayings that my Nonna used to say that she put in my heart. Sadly, our society has moved away from these significant values, but we reclaim them when we come together under Christ, living as He has taught us to live. There is a sad passing away of all good things that unbelievers experience. People, music, love, human joy, nature, and even the cosmos itself. Death is a great trauma standing over all of us. Early or late, we are all forced to deal with mortality, our own and that of our loved ones. Some modern people say that we do not face death with the same intensity and consistency of earlier times. But we do. We all face death with weeping and grieving, even when we know that we will be reunited in heaven We have grief. But what about those friends of ours? They're really good people. They're excellent people. They're kind. They would do anything for anyone, but they do not have the faith and the belief that we do in Jesus Christ. We can see sometimes how this weighs their spirit down. We can see how the death of a loved one would be twice as crushing to them. They do not give themselves over to a desperate attempt to grasp some provisional meaning and joy. You know, kind of like the old beer commercials that urged us with gusto, "We only live once, go for it." That's what our society is about. If it feels good, do it. You only live once, jump on out there. We have something deeper. We have eternal life to look forward to. We know that when we break one of God's commandments, we hurt His heart. We hurt our relationship with those around us, and we hurt ourselves. People stand out as a form of courage, a form of trustworthiness, selfless to a fault, planning for a better world, because they trust in the faith of Jesus Christ, because they want to bring His kingdom in heaven down here to earth. But you know, sometimes we have to admit that some of the unbelievers seem to have it more together than some of the Christians who we feel might be judging us. We can understand why some Christians would say, "I don't want to go to church. I don't want to become Christian." Yet we can sometimes sense that beneath their veneer, they are sad and they feel like there is no hope. Paul says, "If for this life only we hoped in Christ, we are all a people to be most pitied." 1 Corinthians 15:9. We know this because each and every one of us has gone through a wilderness time, a dry time, a time where we have hollered out, "Where are you, God? Where have you gone?" Where we feel alone, as Christ Jesus did on the cross. For when He bore all of our shame and all of our sins, the Heavenly Father could not look Him full in the face. And He cried out, my God, where are you? Have you forsaken me?" I don't know about you, but there's times I've driven down the road. "Where have you gone, God? Did you go on vacation?" And each and every time that I get led back to Him, I become more deeply aware that it is I that has wandered off and not God. The New Testament letter for today, Paul grounds this hope by citing the resurrection of Jesus. When the crucifixion seemed to end the message and mission of Jesus Christ, Paul speaks of Jesus' returning to power and influence among them through visions and appearances. He was raised on the third day. He appeared to Cephas, Simon, Peter, the rock, the one who had denied Him three times. Yet Jesus said, "Upon Him my church will be built." He appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters, and then He appeared to James. "Last of all, He appeared to me," Paul says. He appeared to Saul, the one who persecuted the church on the road to Damascus. He has appeared to each and every one of us in our heart, in our spirit, in our dreams, and in our reading of the world. Paul, too, was hopeful about the mission of Jesus Christ. The philosopher Plato, in his classical Greek philosophical tradition had already formed his doctrine of immortality, an affirmation that the essential person could not be touched by death. You know, that's how rumors get started. When somebody stands and says they believe something without anything to base it upon. Life for them was grim and difficult and filled with pain and suffering and death. These folks to whom Paul took his message of the resurrection were part of Paul's version of the good news of Jesus. However, this trust of God's resurrection, of life beyond death, rose up through the preaching of ones like Paul. Paul begins his writing, "Now I remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news I proclaim to you." Easter is our moment to be reminded that in the midst of difficulties, we can trust a good and holy God. The one true resurrection came to be, and every day around us, we see little mini resurrections where people turn, repent from sin, and begin to live for God, and begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can live as the poet T.S. Eliot once said, with hints and guesses, that because we know of the resurrection does not mean we can explain it in scientific terms. Is faith. And we tend to doubt. Now and again, people have said that doubt is the opposite of faith. I present to you that doubt is the formation of faith. When you struggle with doubt and you wrestle with it and you come to the place where you fully trust Christ Jesus, you can make it through absolutely anything in life. But if you swallow whole what the preacher says, what your grandma said, what your grandpa said, what your parents said, that faith will not see you through the most difficult times in life. William says that we live amidst of resurrection every moment of our lives. If this is true, can it be so difficult to believe that the power and presence of Jesus survived the cross and empowered his followers to carry on his mission? If this is true, can we also believe that our common everyday resurrection, that causes us to turn from sin and to run towards God, is indeed part of the glorious mystery of eternity? Romans 8:11 says, "The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in each and every one of us." We have been given the authority to let people know they are forgiven in the name of Christ. Coming to trust this, we can believe in Christ's resurrection. And if we can trust this great possibility, we may find that crippling despair, sadness, and grief are easier to survive. Dante wrote in his great poem, The Divine Comedy, that not because of this world would we be saved, but because of Jesus Christ. He called our journey a comedy, not because it was silly, not because it was funny, but because we had come to the point of saving grace where life was no longer tragic, where life was no longer a meaningless nothing. Is it so strange that the word commonly attached to our Easter greeting is happy? Happy Easter. I would call it indescribable. As our choir is about to sing, glorious creations revealing your majesty, O Lord, indescribable, uncontainable, all-powerful, untamable, awestruck indeed. He is risen.